Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
On second and 10, the fake end around to Grant. They set up the screen. This is Pitts. Pitts still going inside the 10 to the end zone. Touchdown. 36 yards. Second career touchdown for Capri Pitts.
That was the second touchdown pass of the day for Kirk Cousins yesterday. Didn't turn the ball over. Completed 69% of his passes, throwing for a 196 in a win. And he joins us now on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Kirk, top of the morning to you. Capri Bibbs on a screen. Jamison Crowder looked easy. Couple of touchdown passes that were chalked up on Wednesday or Thursday that couldn't have worked any better for you.
Oh, it was great to get started. You know, I've learned that when your defense – makes those plays, you know, like gave us a short field on our very first possession. It makes life pretty easy, and had that easy touchdown there, and then great play design by Jay on that screen to Capri Bibbs. And Capri has really shown some juice in practice. He can really, really run. He's got some good ability to shake people, and he runs a good choice route. And so it was a nice find by our scouting staff to bring him in with all the injuries we've had at the running back position. And it was nice to see him open it up and get a big play there for us.
A bit of an odd game, too, though, Kirk. Just it's very strange. You guys score so quickly there after the turnover, as you mentioned, to start the game. You guys only had the ball for 6.5 minutes in the first half. That's the lowest total of any team in the NFL this year, and yet you guys had the lead. How tough was it to kind of get in a rhythm? Again, you don't apologize for scoring quickly, but that's just sort of how the game developed.
Yeah, total plays is one of those hidden stats that you never really see, but is a direct reason why you may or may not have a big day offensively. And last week against the Chargers, we only ran 51 plays, and we had no one to blame but ourselves for that because we didn't convert enough third downs. But when you only run 15 plays in the first half, it's really a miracle we had 14 points because it's hard to get much production out of only 15 plays. And, again, we weren't good enough on third down yesterday, so that also contributed to the lack of time of possession and the inability to get anything going. But, we got to find ways to stay on the field and have more plays, because if we stay out there and have plays, we're going to have production. But when you only have so many snaps, it's hard to come away with a day where you feel like you really got things going.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. I look back at your performance yesterday, and I think of it as efficient. I think of it as unspectacular, maybe conservative, but one of those games where you decide at some point, hey, we're not going to beat ourselves on offense. Defensively, they're going to be able to handle the Cardinals, and we're going to play a game that gets us a win. Is that conscious? Is that something you're cognizant of? To me, it looks different. Like when you're out there gunslinging against New Orleans or other games compared to yesterday where you guys don't want to be the reason why it doesn't go well, but maybe you make less plays. Is that a fair assessment or no?
Well, that's certainly how the game turned out and how the final narrative ended up coming across. I think that it just kind of happens. It isn't really intentional or by design. For example, really the last possession, we're at a position where we're backed up. We're basically trying to run the clock. We attempt to run a bootleg on second down. The ball gets batted down. We don't really want anything negative to happen on third down, so we run the ball. So that was a conservative drive, if you will. But much of the rest of the time, you know, we had a good drive going. At one point, we run a end around to Josh Doctson, loses 14 yards. And the drive is basically killed. So that would be a time where maybe we had something going, had a chance to open it up, and then because you get in third and 23 or whatever it was, it's tough to stay on the field. And then when you go 1 for 9 on third down or whatever we ended up going for, yeah, it's going to come across as more conservative than maybe what we were trying to be. And you know, we tried to take a shot one time in a no huddle play, ended up dropping it off to Samaje Perine for a nice gain down our left sideline. But, you know, we're trying to go much deeper there. Josh Doxson went deep, the safety went with him. So we're hoping to get Ryan Grant across the field, but Ryan got hung up and got collisioned with underneath coverage. So there's individual plays and reasons why maybe the times we tried to take a shot and go over the top, it didn't work for us and we had to check it down. Credit to Arizona's defense at times too for their zone coverages and the way they kept things in front of them.
Kirk, you've taken some more hits and some more hard hits this year than maybe in years past, including that one yesterday. It looked awfully painful. One, how you feeling? Chandler Jones got you in the small of the back, it looked like. And two, does it ever, you know, think about, I mean, you've been very comfortable when you've told us as much about playing on these kind of short-term, one-year type deals. Does that ever cross your mind where one hit like that could, if it's in a different place, could kind of change everything?
Well, great questions. You know, I'm feeling fine. The hit was kind of an initial shock to the system, but then kind of got to the sidelines and it pretty much wore off. And by the next series, I was feeling fine. And then you always wait for that hangover effect if that night or the next day you feel it. But I really am not feeling anything. So that's good report. And the hits have added up this year. It's been a tougher year from that standpoint. I guess part of the deal when you lose some offensive linemen, when you, you know, have a bit of a revolving door at some different positions. But part of the game, part of playing the position, and you try to take pride in standing in there and getting hit and getting back up. And you know that that's a big part of this game and this position. And, you know, I would say that in the position I'm in, the team has made a great investment in me. And the best way that I can provide a return on investment is to be out there and be healthy. So first and foremost, before trying to play at a really high level, I got to take care of my body and work really hard so that every single Sunday I can go out there to the best of my ability. And that's the first step in trying to provide a return on investment for this team. And, you know, I definitely think about injury and the risk, and every one of us takes a huge risk every time we step out there. But, you know, I've always made the decision to get that insurance policy and protect myself. So if anything did happen, I basically can be compensated as if I was still playing. And that was actually a tip I got from Max Scherzer because I reached out to him. He was in a similar position in his career. And he said the minute I made that decision to get that insurance policy, once I could step across the white lines, all I had to focus on was winning. And that's the position I'm in, is I can go out there and just focus on winning football games because of what the insurance policy does for you.
Now, how does that work? Not to get too deep into your business, but I'm curious. Like, what do you mean? You actually go get insurance so that if you get hurt while playing, you get your salary? Or what does that mean? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's not cheap insurance, but
I believe it.
It's well worth it in the sense that you can't put a price on peace of mind. And certain situations in your career, maybe not every year, but certain situations, it makes sense. And, you know, I did the research this past off season, and
when did you talk to Max about it? Was it like in an event or something?
Yeah, no, you know, it goes back a while back, several months ago. You know, last winter. You know, I knew Max's story coming out when he was in Detroit. I was in Michigan. You know, I was playing college ball when he was there, and I understood, you know, what had happened there in Detroit and the decision he made. And so I just asked him, you know, how did you process that? How did you handle that? And you know, he's a wealth of knowledge and was really helpful and, you know, explained to me that what he did. So, you know, I kind of took a similar approach, and I think it's a good decision, just to have peace of mind. His point was, when I pitched for the Tigers, I just focused on winning baseball games. That's all I had to worry about because of that. And I think that was the key, and that's why you get it. And, yeah, if something happens and your career is over, then you would collect. But if your career is not over and you can keep playing, then you don't collect. So you basically would like to think that one way or another, either playing football or sitting home on your couch injured, you're able to be in a position to be just fine.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I know you do a pretty good job of not paying attention to what you consider to be the outside noise, but I'm sure that you guys understood after the last 2 weeks losing by 24 and then 17, there was a lot of chirping and a lot of people locally and nationally talking about the direction of the program and the coaching staff and calling Jay Gruden and some of your offensive coaches and across the board, the staff into question about their future. Do you feel like a game like yesterday calms some of that and shuts some of that down? Where are you at on basically when you hear that the future of this coaching staff might or should be up in the air from people on the outside?
Oh, I think that the body of work, when you look at what's taken place over the last several years, it would be foolish to try to look at a week or 2 weeks and try to make a decision on anybody in this organization. And continuity is a big part of football, and I think that trying to build continuity and create continuity is important. You look at teams that are successful year in and year out, it's kind of a chicken or the egg, which comes first. But the teams that are successful then have continuity. They have the same head coach. They have the same quarterback. They have a lot of the same star players year in and year out. And there's some key positions that aren't changing over and over. And I think to get to that level and be a consistent winner, you also have to create that continuity, and that's important. So I'd like to think that, a win can always calm down people's overreactions, but it only usually buys you about 6 days. And then, you got another date at FedEx Field next Sunday, and people will be free to overreact in either direction based on the results. So we know that in this business, it only buys you about 6 days, and that's okay. And we'll do all we can and try to put a good product on the field. And then at the end of the season, that's when you kind of look back and take stock of the whole picture and see where you're at as an organization.
Kirk, 7 different guys catch passes yesterday. That's always been kind of typical of you, is spreading around like a point guard. Last year, though, different. You had two guys that still had the bulk, or thinking of the outside wide receivers and Deshaun and Pierre. 3rd and 4, it felt like you were going to Pierre. That hasn't been the case this year. Again, it's been kind of a bunch of different guys. Is there something where you are encouraging maybe some of these younger players? I'm thinking of a guy like Josh, or even a Ryan Grant or something like that. Hey, I want you to grow into that Pierre Garçon. Be the guy that I look for on third downs. And if so, what's needed for some of those young guys to emerge as that kind of player?
Well, there's no doubt that we're definitely trying to, get them more and more involved and give them opportunities to make plays for us. I think it's such a team game. And, Josh may very well be open on a third down, but if the ball is thrown high to him, we don't convert. It doesn't have a lot to do with Josh. The ball was thrown high. We have a Chandler Jones twists around into the A-gap and we don't pick him up and he's coming free, then receivers can be doing their job down the field getting open, but if I don't have time to get him the ball, they're not going to get the ball. Other times, defenses, a Patrick Peterson or a two-safety look is taking away Ryan Grant and Josh Doctson. They're basically out of the read. But now I've got Samaje Perine wide open on a burst route where they forgot to cover him, or because of the nature of their coverage, that's the soft spot in the zone, and he gets the ball. So there are a variety of reasons why maybe they aren't showing up all the time, especially on third down. But because it's such a team game, it becomes hard to point to any one reason as to why. But when we protect well, when we can win our individual one-on-one matches, when we can throw the ball accurately, that's when you're going to see production. And if we aren't protecting, or if the throw's not accurate, or if we didn't win the one-on-one matchup, then you're not going to see those guys have big days and help us on third down.
Kirk, you're a football junkie. I'm sure by now, even if you were still in traffic yesterday, you have seen the Steelers-Patriots ending and the non-catch. You're commissioner for a day. Do you keep the catch rule the same? Do you alter it? Are you satisfied with what it is right now?
Yeah, I'm not satisfied with it. I don't understand the rule. If that happened in our game, I would understand based on a precedent that's been set that's not a catch and it wouldn't catch me off guard, but I wouldn't understand as to why. I wouldn't know the reasoning. I just don't know the rule enough. But I remember on Sunday Night Football last year against the Packers, Jordy Nelson caught a touchdown against us. And I believe one of our DBs, he caught it, and almost instantaneously our DB slapped the ball out of his grasp and it fell out the back of the end zone. And I thought for sure with the nature of the catch rule that he didn't complete the catch. It didn't seem like he held onto the ball for very long. That would be ruled an incompletion, and yet it was ruled a touchdown. So I think it's moments like that that make you scratch your head where it's still at times is ruled a catch, whether or not he holds on. And I just don't understand how long do you have to hold the ball. I mean, even Vernon Davis yesterday on his fumble at the 2-minute drill before the half, he caught the ball. He was kind of tucking it. He was moving. At what point is that a catch fumble? And at what point did he not complete the catch, or the ball still moving and it hasn't been fully tucked into his grasp? And he even thought that maybe we could get a call there where they were going to say he hadn't fully brought it into his body. And I was hoping for that, and we didn't get it. So I don't understand. And I don't know that I've ever looked for a full detailed explanation, but it is frustrating that, we play football in the backyard and you know what a catch is, and then we play at the highest level and we don't.
Yeah, same with the fumble rule. There's empty hands. Sometimes you throw a pass that is batted down by a defender, but it's called a fumble, like the Philadelphia game this year.
That, by the way, was the exact same thing yesterday, I thought.
I thought yesterday was more of a fumble. I mean, again, I've watched football my entire life, and I literally have no idea. I want to ask you, though, about the other big call from yesterday. I think it was the right call as the rules applied. I just think this may be one of the worst rules in sports. 99 yards of the field, a fumble is one thing. If it goes out of bounds, it reverts to the team that fumbled at the, kind of the spot. We've all kind of agreed that. But if you fumble near the end zone and it goes out of the end zone, it's the most egregious penalty possible. It's a turnover, and the other team gets 30 yards of field position. It's crazy to me.
Right. Yeah, no, and we lived into the benefit of that last year when I threw an interception against the Ravens, and we ended up gaining like 8 yards on my interception, and it was unbelievable how that worked out. But, yeah, I had my high school friend texted me after the game, really smart play by you there, Kirk, to gain 8 yards throwing it to the other team. So, it's a strange, you know, deal. Obviously, the nature of the play is such that that's the way the game works. But that's where coaching and situational awareness is so important. When people talk to me in the offseason, what are you working on in your game? I say situational awareness to know that, hey, we just got the first down. It's 3rd and 3. I just crossed the first down marker. So now we're going to have 1st and goal. There's like 30 seconds left on the clock. So we have plenty of time to run a few plays. Factor in how many timeouts you have. There's just not the same necessity to reach for the front pylon as there is with no timeouts left. 4th and goal, different situation. Now that play is smart because that's the only option he has. So the play itself is not wrong if it's in the right situation. But in that situation, you're going to have 1st and goal at the 1-yard line if you just give up and go out at the 1. So that's where, you know, you always have to be aware of timeouts, clock, down and distance, and where we are in the field. And all those things affect how you play each individual play. So that was a tough one, too, to see. And this game will test you week in and week out, man. It's absolute grind. And everyone wakes up in Oakland disappointed, and everyone wakes up in Dallas happy. And the difference is literally half of one play that changes the whole thing. And so that's why we can't overreact too much when we're in it. We just have to keep going and try to learn from it.
Kirk, I know you've got a big afternoon planned. What's on the docket?
Well, I'm headed right now, getting off the call. I'm headed in to see Star Wars. And
my guy.
You know, I wanted to go, after the game, get the game out of the way, use the off day to go. And I've been wanting to see it now. A lot of teammates have already gone and were telling me it was pretty good. And we like to go in the theaters about as empty as possible. So I got tickets to the 11:15 a.m. showing, and they were like less than $5. So we're pretty happy. It should be a good showing. And I just want to know why Danny has something against Star Wars. I mean, what's not to like? Why do you got to hate it?
Oh, my God.
That's actually a great question.
You put him up to this. This is not funny. My reputation's on the line.
I think it's a great question.
This is so mean.
What don't you like about Star Wars?
You're gonna both make me cry.
By the way,
cry.
This is going to ruin your day.
This ruins my day. Kirk, that's not nice. Can you publicly take it back, please?
It's a fair question. Kirk Cousins wants to know why Danny really hates Star Wars.
I love it so much.
Kirk, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the movie.
Danny, sometime in the offseason, we need to sit down and just talk through all the different plot theories of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and just go down a rabbit hole with that. I would love that.
That'd be my favorite thing.
You wouldn't love it as much as Danny
would.
It's
my favorite thing anyone's ever said to me. I have the worst student in the world in Grant. He rolls his eyes and looks at his phone, Kirk.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Go enjoy the trailers. I don't want you to miss any of the previews.
Have fun,
buddy. Get some popcorn.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you, man.
Yep. Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. How about that? Why do you hate Star Wars?
I can't believe you put him up to that.
You're listening to The Fan.
They
will make
ruined.
Some sense of what we just talked about next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks, as always, to Kirk Cousins for joining the show. Breaking news, as Pete just told you about. John Skipper out at ESPN. Whatever he's dealing with, hopefully he can make some changes and put it in the rearview mirror. That's tough
Massive.
To hear for him personally, but it's a huge deal on the sports scene and in the sports landscape. He runs ESPN.
Yeah, and a lot of things he's responsible for, good and bad, direction of ESPN. A lot of these huge deals with the various leagues and hiring and firing and his boss, Bob Iger, and him cutting so much staff at ESPN, a lot of the changes and metamorphosis, he's trying to be on the new front of what it means to be in sports media at this point. So one of the big voices, one of the leaders in this industry, stepped down for personal issues. Nobody expected it, it sounds like. It's pretty jarring.
This has been an insane year for ESPN.
Yeah.
It's not as though there wasn't some writing on the wall that they were starting to have some cracks in the foundation, I guess, before this year. But if you just look at, there are other networks. Now, I don't know that FS1 has necessarily closed the gap in any capacity.
I don't think they have at all.
In terms of who watches what. But it's not an ESPN problem, I don't think, as much as it's a cord cutting, a 2017, the way we view sports problem. people bash ESPN all the time for the way that they cover things or some of the shows they have, and some of them are bad. You know, having Skip Bayless yell the loudest in every room that he's in, or you know, building your foundation around Stephen A. Smith, who says outlandish, crazy things, and you try to get clicks and attention for that, probably isn't the best journalistic way to go about it. I understand that. But I think that the fight ESPN has is less with itself about what they're covering, how they're covering it, which everyone likes to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just more about the era that we're in.
Yes.
I think this is a problem for networks. We always talk about the NFL ratings. Are they up? Are they down? Yesterday, highest rated game of the season. Highest rated game probably in a couple years. Weird. You've got two of the best teams in football, the Patriots and the Steelers, playing a lot on the line in a 4 o'clock nationally televised game. Everyone's been waiting on for months. So, yeah, of course, people are going to watch. But every time we have these conversations, we just focus the discussion around whatever the obvious things are. Well, are people not watching because of the anthem kneeling? Are people not watching because of what this person said?
And everyone's got an agenda that
exactly
fits their thing.
And the fact is, times are changing, and that's what ESPN is fighting. And they just do not have the stranglehold on sports that they once did, very simply because 25 years ago, you needed to watch that highlight show to know what happened all around the country.
Exactly.
And now, when that show starts, you already know probably more than the person sitting there giving you the highlights, because you've been following it all on your phone while they've been doing their job.
They were built on the highlight. They were built on the highlight show that now has gone the way of the dodo. You've got personality-driven stuff where it's Scott Van Pelt and a couple other guys and gals, but it is not the same area. You're absolutely right. It's all about second screen. It's how millennials consume things. Younger people, younger than millennials, consume things in ways that I would never do, but that's what they like. So ESPN is trying to adapt with these times, and it ruffles the feathers of a lot of people because, again, they're the biggest. They're the most bloated. They're the ones that became kind of the, you know, if you were wanted to be taken seriously in this industry, you had to work for ESPN at some point. That's no longer the case, right? There are all
True.
Sorts of upstarts and smaller shops and local sports kind of remain king. ESPN basically went to a point where they go, the big national mothership, you've got to be this great big thing. It's Mike and Mike. It's personalities barely skimming over your local sports town. How many times does DC get featured if you listen to Mike and Mike? Once in a blue moon, right? When something happens here. Otherwise, it's LeBron did this, or you know, this
playing
Hall of Famer
did
that. You play the hits. Localized things are making a comeback in such a strong way. And that's sort of, ESPN has to fight that. They tried to become nationally local, having bureaus in every town.
Well, here's something to remember too, though, Danny, as we're talking about Skipper in the news today that he's leaving ESPN. Obviously, the layoffs are one of the things everyone's talked about in the last year. One of the major moments was, as the drama continues at that company, 21st Century Fox bought out ESPN's parent company, Disney, 1 week ago. We didn't really get into that on the show. Remember that?
Yeah.
21st Century Fox bought Disney last week. So that, too, could, I don't know what that means. I'd have to have a conversation with John Oren, probably, to actually get intel on where that's headed. But that is a huge deal as well, that took place 1 week ago.
So I thought it was the other way around. Didn't Disney buy 21st Century Fox? It's that way, right?
Oh, so Disney bought out.
Yeah,
I
Disney
guess that's
bought
true.
Fox.
Disney bought out Fox.
Yeah.
But the point is that those two companies combined. So
yes,
that's another seismic shift that's about to happen.
No, it is massive.
For Disney as a company that owns ESPN.
So and again, this is all about the new fronts, the new ways it's going to happen.
Right.
Netflix has changed the game in so many ways. Amazon Prime, shortly thereafter. Every cable company, every provider wants their pay-to-play content as something that's now direct to you. So Disney's about to launch this thing in either late 2018 or 2019, where it'll be all their Marvel shows, all their different things that are now subscription-based, et cetera, direct to you. You'll pay a monthly subscription service. ESPN wants to be in the same game, the same universe, et cetera. They're late to it. They didn't see it coming, frankly, and they were slow on this, as they were paying billions of dollars a few years ago for the NBA, and everyone's kind of like, that's probably too much money, guys. You're paying billions for Monday Night Football. Probably too much money, guys. Said, no. It's going to keep going this way.
We're fine.
And the rug got pulled out from underneath them. And so as a result, a lot of good people have lost their gigs because ESPN got too bloated.
What is the anticipation on what it means, though, for ESPN with Disney and Fox kind of becoming one? What does that mean?
It's a great question. Again, we need a John Orand or a business
because
person to tell you better.
That is just a field I don't know anything about. But it means something. I mean, you don't make a change like that, and I don't notice it sitting at home.
To me, the reading I've done about it, again, I'm just a guy that's interested in this stuff. So the reading I've done basically makes it, to double down on what I've just been talking about, in the what they want to position themselves as is one of these indispensable providers. Because what they're losing is 1 million cable subscribers per year, or 1.5 million, or whatever it is. They've lost 10, 11, 12, 13 million cable subscribers.
That's not going
to
stop, by the way.
That's going to continue to sort of dwindle, right? What they want to find a way to do is get their content to the next layer of people, to the younger generation that prefers to watch their iPads, watch their iPhones, watch whatever else, instead of sitting in front of a television and doing it the old kind of fashion way with advertising rates. You get a nice rate if you watch the 10:30 program. None of that stuff applies anymore. They need to find a way to get their stuff to consumers. Direct ads don't work anymore. They need subscription services. So, hey, our content's so good, you can watch 30 for 30, but for 99 cents a month. The WWE has been so instrumental in kind of getting folks into that model because that has been wildly successful for them. I get the sense that that's what this merger is about. That's what this acquisition is about, is to get content to people digitally.
Yeah, I think it's a game changer. I don't really know what it means, but this Skipper news is even bigger, though.
Massive.
In terms of broadcasting, anyone involved in this industry, and I don't mean people like you and I working in it, but you guys at home who watch ESPN, who are purveyors of anything that they provide on any of their platforms. Grant and Danny on the Fan, let's do this next on G&D. Simple question for you. What did yesterday's win accomplish for the Redskins? What did it mean for the Redskins to get a win? We'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we asked you guys what the win over the Cardinals yesterday accomplished. What did it mean? What comes out of it? There's really only one answer.
One thing.
Welcome you back on Grant and Danny. Here on 106.7 The Fan. And the phone lines are wide open if you want them. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The one thing really that came out of yesterday's win, in addition to the fact that maybe you staved off the Wolves for just a little while, and it's good news for Jay Gruden and his coaching staff and some of the players who want to be back who played well. Chris Russell's walkathon will not happen.
It is no more.
The Rooster walkathon. Him walking from our studios to Ashburn, waving that Redskins flag, will not take place. Yesterday, Russell worked the post-game show, and I actually got to give a little tip of the cap to him, some props. Saturday night, I got out of NBC Sports Washington doing Caps post-game coverage close to like 1 a.m. It was well after midnight, right? I'm on my way home. I got home close to 1. I'm listening to the radio, and who's on the radio nationally? The Rooster, Chris Russell.
Yeah, yes.
Who would be on until 6 in the morning. He was going to leave the radio station. He was at WFAN in New York, the CBS, now Entercom affiliate, there. He was going to leave there at 6 a.m., jump in like some kind of cab to go to a bus station, to bus back here, to then get in a car and go straight to hosting.
Unbelievable.
At wherever he was, Tyson's Beer Garden.
It was Tyson's Beer Garden. I saw him when he came in. He showed up about 15 minutes after the start of the game.
How terrible did he look?
He, on a Rooster disheveled scale, he was a 100 out of 10.
Bless his heart.
Do you realize he didn't sleep, but maybe on the bus for like an hour?
And I've done that, by the way. I've done that bus grind. I know all about it.
The car was here. Okay, the car was here in our parking lot. So he took the bus to Union Station, took a cab to 1015 Half Street. Guess what he did? Because he slept on someone's couch the night before, he had nowhere to shower, nowhere to get clean after being on a bus.
Downstairs.
He banged on the door like a crazy person to let the security person in. And he goes, "I'm the Rooster. I'm Joe the Rooster Russo. Is there any chance that I could use the shower in the gym?"
Here.
He didn't have a
Why doesn't he have a key card?
A key card?
I guess he didn't have it on him.
Oh my God.
So the security guard had to walk him to the gym to let him in so he could shower at work.
Did he think he was a homeless person?
I mean, he looked like one.
Just saying all these different things, it would be, if you didn't know, if you weren't in, it would be one of those things where I go, I distrust the information you're providing me at this time.
It all makes sense.
Though. I'm the rooster. Can I use the shower?
But the Slash is a hustler. He's a grinder.
Yeah, man.
Here he was taking his victory lap yesterday as he took to the airwaves post game to announce to Washington, D.C. he would not be walking to Ashburn.
I, like a dummy, predicted 3 days before training camp opened, based on a USA Today prediction that the Redskins would finish 5-11. I said, hell no, that's not going to happen. Again, this is 3 days before training camp. On a Monday night, right here on the Fan, I said, that's not going to happen. I said, as a matter of fact, if it does happen, if the Redskins go 5-11, I said, I would be willing to walk from Nationals Park to Redskins Park in the middle of January waving a team flag. And, of course, all of my dummy friends in the media and many of you people, and I'm not going to call you dummies, but, you know, I mean, if you were making fun of me and if you wanted me to walk, you know how the shoe fits, baby. All of you guys have been littering my inbox, or whatever they call it, timeline. I was thinking inbox email.
Sure, it's an
inbox.
All
of you guys have been littering my timeline.
My time box.
Just aching to see me walk 30-plus miles in the middle of January, waving a Redskins team flag from Nationals Park to Redskins Park. Well, I got one thing to say for you. Sorry about your damn luck. There you go. I'm not doing it because the Redskins bailed me out. The Redskins get their sixth win of the year, and I don't have to walk. Sorry that the radio station is not going to benefit from my bravado. I think they've already benefited enough. I'm done making reckless proclamations.
Bet you're not.
I'm going to get your proclamation before the end of the day. You watch.
Remember when he said he would step down? He would quit if the Redskins signed DeSean Jackson.
48 hours later, the Redskins have signed DeSean Jackson.
Wait, he's played for the Redskins?
Oh, yeah.
The Rooster had to, like, fake step down, and then Chuck Sapienza had to step in with some fake story that he had stepped down and he wouldn't let him or whatever weird thing
he
happened.
He had to rehire
that.
Him.
Yeah, it was a big dog and pony show. Then you have this, walk to Ashburn, the Rooster Walkathon, which, frankly, I am very happy is not actually going to happen.
You're the only one. Maybe Chris.
It is a party of two.
There's two.
You and
me
Russell.
And Russell. I think there are other people with good hearts out there.
No.
Most of us, though, in my camp, and I've talked to a few people who are in my camp, we wanted this to drag out to week 17. I'm not that good of a guy.
There was drama. There is none now.
Right. I wanted there to be a three-week buildup where up until the final second of the final game, we're all assuming he's walking. I thought that would be good for business. So I'm not the nicest guy, but I really was worried about his well-being. He can't walk to Ashburn.
No one can.
I just want you to know that I am distraught, and I can't believe that not only did this not get to week 17, I am so angry.
I know. I'm crushed. I've never been so down about a Redskins win in my life. This is the one, man. This one hurt. I thought they could do it, and I thought we could have some joyous bit of content in January when nothing else is happening. It's tumbleweed, and we have our own thing that we're doing because, as he said, of his bravado, because of the promise that he made.
Chris Russell beating his chest last night.
It would have been great. And congrats, buddy.
Sorry about your luck, he said.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Because the Redskins might go 6-10.
Sorry I went completely over the top and bet against myself.
We will accept your apology. Oh, wait, you're not apologizing to us. We're apologizing to you. Okay, hopefully you accept ours. Zach Brown said something today that could get him in some trouble.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I wish he hadn't said that.
This is not going to go over well. We'll get into that just after noon. Our double play is next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. On the day after the Redskins beat the Cardinals 20-15,
die.
Win number 6 for the good guys.
A great home game with 72,000 plus there, Dag.
Die, about 40,000 less than that, but we'll announce 70 anyway, Dag.
Dag.
They did paint the field yesterday.
Hey.
We got that going for us.
Hey, all right.
Looked kind of green.
Way to go, gang. Good energy.
Not that brown, which was exciting. My double play is that I had a delicious meal on Friday night. I got to thank the good folks over at Tyson's at the Palm, Tim and the crew who helped make my night awesome. What a delicious meal. You know what I love? Mm. Great steak. Just wonderful service and a great ambiance. Going out to eat and having a nice meal, everyone should do that once every couple of weeks.
This is my point.
It's the best thing you can do.
I make this point.
And the Pullman Tysons does it better than anybody. Had a really cool meal. Kicked off a holiday weekend, which was awesome. Took the fiancé's dad out, who just retired. It made me think, by the way, like, one day I'm going to retire. What do you do when you retire?
Great question.
I feel like you spend your whole life going to work, and it's Monday through Friday, and maybe you have planned Saturday or Sunday. And then all of a sudden, when you don't do that anymore, I'm not the kind of person that just sits around and watches TV. Do I become... My dad's not retired, but he just tinkers in the yard for no reason all the time.
So much tinkering.
What do you do?
People take up hobbies. You know what I mean? Like, they're hobbies. Like, that's when you start playing golf, because it's not a sport. It's an activity that's challenging.
That's why people play golf.
That's what they do.
Because they have time to kill and nothing to do.
It takes up so much time, and it's really hard.
What hobby would you take up, do you think, when you retire?
Probably be golf. Like, I'd go, yeah, nice area. Because, again, it's not a sport. There's no defense. Sports have defense. Just an activity that you can do, but it takes up so much time.
I think I would... probably just see a movie every day.
Yep, I'd see some movies. I'd complain that they're not like they used to be.
Jokes aside, I read a book one time. It was like a Warner Wolf book that was written by, I want to say, Larry Weissman. And one of the things that was in that book was that when he retired, he had to determine, like, what am I going to do? So he said, every single day I want to give myself an activity. So, like, Mondays I play tennis. Tuesday I do this. Mm-hmm. I think that would be my plan. Like, Monday maybe is golf day. Tuesday is see a movie day. Wednesday is kind of lounge around and watch TV day. Thursday is maybe, like, go find some, like, place to volunteer or something. I don't know. And then Friday maybe is schedule a lunch with... Do you have a friend nearby?
Yeah, you probably do. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people do. I've seen my wife's grandmother, when she, like, retired fully, like, little things became the day's activity. So in other words, like you now, because you're busy, you go out and about, you go, oh, I'm going to swing by Home Depot today, right? Because I got to pick up this new faucet for the kitchen. Or I've got to go mail a letter. That one thing becomes the day.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? When you
but
don't have anything
else to do. But is it necessary to do that one thing?
Where it's like I've got to mail a thank you note to Edith. You know, and that's like the thing you
so
do that
funny.
Day.
Because you're right. Because you ask someone, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, I've got to go to the post office. That's 6 minutes.
That's the day.
I mean, seriously.
That's the whole day.
If I have to go to the post office today and you ask me what I had to do, that might be the ninth thing I mention. Because from 3:15 to 3:22, right when I get home, mm-hmm. I will go to the post office. And then the rest of the day is happening. But for some people, Wednesday is go to the post office day.
Exactly. Little things become the thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. When you're busy, when you're out and about constantly living your life, you do these little chores. But those little chores when you're retired become these giant hangover things that, like, just are governing your entire week. Like, at some point, I'm going to have to go to the grocery store, and it becomes the biggest deal.
But thanks to everybody over at the Palm at the Tysons. Location is just so delicious,
the best,
so
Jerry.
Wonderful,
the
so
best.
Excellent. And I loved everything about it, so thank you.
Quick DP for me, Tommy. Danny Ruhier show review on Netflix. Season 3 is completed. It's available on BBC America as well. But Broadchurch is the name of the program. Excellent. British series. The way they do it over in Great Britain, actually, is very, very good. Instead of the usual USA run where you get a show that goes 23, 24, 25 episodes a season or whatever, they do 8 episodes. It's the perfect amount of time for A, streaming, B, to kind of get the good arc. You still get plenty of character development. It's really, really well done. Premise of the show, small British beach coastal town rocked by a shocking homicide. It doesn't happen in this kind of place. It's a whodunit. Everyone's a suspect. It's, again, kind of small town politics mixed with the regular kind of standard issue detective type shows. It's excellent, though. David Tennant is the lead actor on it. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Was in Harry Potter, was Doctor Who, was the boyfriend of Jessica Jones.
What was he in Harry Potter?
He was one of the death dealers, one of servants of...
I don't know why I asked that.
It's not a big deal. I actually can't remember his name in the Harry Potter stuff. But he's excellent. He's got this very skinny, lizard-looking guy who has a sharp Scottish accent. And he's excellent as the lead detective on the show. The tapestry of the people in the town, really, really well done, really good. All these relationships are tested, and it's about 3 seasons, really, that stem from that. So it's a really, really well-done show. Cannot recommend it enough. The latest season ended a few months ago on the BBC, and the Netflix just kind of got them here in December. But it's really well done. high recommendation from your pal.
Double play every day, 11:45. What's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sports? Noon, we'll go blitzing, 12:18. What Zach Brown said that isn't going to be reviewed favorably.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.